7.
I am also afraid, however, that all I have known, that my story, will be forgotten. I am afraid for the world that is to come, afraid that my plans will fail, afraid of a doom worse even than the deepness.
Says had never thought he'd have reason to appreciate dirt floors. However, they proved remarkably useful in writing instruction. He drew several words in the dirt with a long stick, giving his half-dozen students a model. They proceeded to scribble their own copies, rewriting the words several times. Even after living among various groups of rural ska for a year, Sazed was still surprised by their meager resources. There wasn't a single piece of chalk in the entire village, let alone ink or paper. Half the children ran around naked, and the only shelter was the hovels, long one-room structures with patchy roofs. The ska had farming tools, fortunately, but no manner of bows or slings for hunting. Sazed had led a scavenging mission up to the plantation's abandoned manor. The leavings had been meager. He'd suggested that the village elders relocate their people to the manor itself for the winter, but he doubted they would do so. They had visited the manor with apprehension, and many hadn't been willing to leave Sazed's side. The place reminded them of lords, and lords reminded them of pain. His students continued to scribble. He had spent quite a bit of effort explaining to the elders why writing was so important. Finally, they had chosen him some students, partially Sazed was sure, just to appease him. He shook his head slowly as he watched them write. There was no passion in their learning. They came because they were ordered and because Master Terraceman willed it, not because of any real desire for education. During the days before the collapse, Sazed had often imagined what the world would be like once the Lord Ruler was gone. He had pictured the Keepers emerging, bringing forgotten knowledge and truths to an excited, thankful populace. He'd imagined teaching before a warm hearth at night, telling stories to an eager audience. He'd never paused to consider a village stripped of its working men, whose people were too exhausted at night to bother with tales from the past. He'd never imagined a people who seemed more annoyed by his presence than thankful.
"You must be patient with them," Sazed told himself sternly. His dreams now seemed like hubris.
The Keepers who had come before him, the hundreds who had died keeping their knowledge safe and quiet, had never expected praise or accolades. They had performed their great task with solemn anonymity. Sazed stood up and inspected his students' writings. They were getting better. They could recognize all of the letters. It wasn't much, but it was a start. He nodded to the group, dismissing them to help prepare the evening meal. They bowed, then scattered. Sazed followed them out, then realized how dim the sky was. He had probably kept his students too late. He shook his head as he strolled between the hill-like hovels. He again wore his steward's robes with their colorful V-shaped patterns, and he had put in several of his earrings. He kept to the old ways because they were familiar, even though they were also a symbol of oppression. How would future terrace generations dress? Would a lifestyle forced upon them by the Lord Ruler become an innate part of their culture? He paused at the edge of the village, glancing down the corridor of the southern valley. It was filled with blackened soil, occasionally split by brown vines or shrubs. No mist, of course. Mist came only during the night. The stories had to be mistakes. The thing he'd seen had to have been a fluke. And what did it matter if it wasn't? It wasn't his duty to investigate such things. Now that the collapse had come, he had to disperse his knowledge, not waste his time chasing after foolish stories. Keepers were no longer investigators, but instructors. He carried with him thousands of books, information about farming, about sanitation, about government, and about medicine. He needed to give these things to the ska. That was what the synod had decided. And yet a part of Sazed resisted. That made him feel deeply guilty. The villagers needed his teachings, and he wished dearly to help them. However, he felt that he was missing something. The Lord Ruler was dead, but the story did not seem finished. Was there something he had overlooked? Something larger even than the Lord Ruler? Something so large, so big, that it was effectively invisible? Or do I just want there to be something else? He wondered. I've spent most of my adult life resisting and fighting, taking risks that the other keepers called mad. I wasn't content with feigned subservience. I had to get involved in the rebellion. Despite that rebellion's success, Sazed's brethren still hadn't forgiven him for his involvement. He knew that Vin and the others saw him as docile, but compared with other keepers, he was a wild man. A reckless, untrustworthy fool who threatened the entire order with his impatience. They had believed their duty was to wait, watching for the day when the Lord Ruler was gone. Ferrochemists were too rare to risk an open rebellion. Sazed had disobeyed. Now he was having trouble living the peaceful life of a teacher. Was that because some subconscious part of him knew that the people were still in danger? Or was it because he simply couldn't accept being marginalized?
Master Terrasman!
Sazed spun. The voice was terrified.
Another death in the mists, he thought immediately.
It was eerie how the other Ska remained inside their hovels despite the horrified voice. A few doors creaked, but nobody rushed out in alarm, or even curiosity, as the screamer dashed up to Sazed. She was one of the field workers, a stout, middle-aged woman. Sazed checked his reserves as she approached. He had on his pewter mind for strength, of course, and a very small steel ring for speed. Suddenly, he wished he'd chosen to wear just a few more bracelets this day.
"Master Terrasman," the woman said, out of breath. "Oh, he's come back. He's come for us."
"Who?" Sazed asked. "The man who died in the mists?"
"No, Master Terrasman. The Lord Ruler."
Sazed found him standing just outside the village. It was already growing dark, and the woman who'd fetched Sazed had returned to her hovel in fear. Sazed could only imagine how the poor people felt, trapped by the onset of the night and its mist, yet huddled and worried at the danger that lurked outside. And an ominous danger it was. The stranger waited quietly on the worn road, wearing a black robe, standing almost as tall as Sazed himself. The man was bald, and he wore no jewelry, unless, of course, you counted the massive iron spikes that had been driven point-first through his eyes. Not the Lord Ruler. A steel inquisitor. Sazed still didn't understand how the creatures continued to live. The spikes were wide enough to fill the inquisitor's entire eye sockets. The nails had destroyed the eyes, and pointed tips jutted out the back of the skull. No blood dripped from the wounds. For some reason that made them seem more strange. Fortunately, Sazed knew this particular inquisitor.
"Marsh," Sazed said quietly as the mists began to form.
"You are a very difficult person to track, Terrasman," Marsh said,
and the sound of his voice shocked Sazed. It had changed somehow, becoming more grating, more gristly. It now had a grinding quality, like that of a man with a cough. Just like the other inquisitors, Sazed had heard.
"Track?" Sazed asked. "I wasn't planning on others needing to find me."
"Regardless," Marsh said, turning south, "I did. You need to come with me."
Sazed frowned.
"What? Marsh, I have work to do here."
"Unimportant,"
Marsh said, turning back, focusing his eyeless gaze on Sazed.
"Is it me, or has he become stranger since we last met?"
Sazed shivered.
"What is this about, Marsh?"
The conventicle of Saren is empty.
Sazed paused. The conventicle was a ministry stronghold to the south, a place where the inquisitors and high obligators of the Lord Ruler's religion had retreated after the collapse.
Empty? Sazed asked. That isn't likely, I think.
True, nonetheless, Marsh said.
He didn't use body language as he spoke. No gesturing, no movements of the face. Sazed trailed off.
What kinds of information, wonders, secrets, the conventicle's libraries must hold?
You must come with me, Marsh said. I may need help, should my brethren discover us.
My brethren? Since when are the Inquisitors Marsh's brethren?
Marsh had infiltrated their numbers as part of Kelsier's plan to overthrow the final empire. He was a traitor to their numbers, not their brother. Sazed hesitated. Marsh's profile looked unnatural, even unnerving in the dim light. Dangerous.
Don't be foolish, Sazed chastised himself.
Marsh was Kelsier's brother, the survivor's only living relative. As an inquisitor, Marsh had authority over the Steel Ministry, and many of the obligators had listened to him despite his involvement with the rebellion. He had been an invaluable resource for Ellen Venture's fledgling government.
Go get your things, Marsh said.
My place is here, Sazed thought, teaching the people, not gallivanting across the countryside, chasing my own ego.
And yet...
The mists are coming during the day, Marsh said quietly.
Sazed looked up. Marsh was staring at him, the heads of his spikes shining like round disks in the last slivers of sunlight. Superstitious Ska thought that Inquisitors could read minds, though Sazed knew that was foolish. Inquisitors had the powers of Mistborn and could therefore influence other people's emotions, but they could not read minds.
Why did you say that? Sazed asked.
Because it is true, Marsh said. This is not over, Sazed. It is not yet begun. The Lord Ruler. He was just a delay, a cog. Now that he is gone, we have little time remaining. Come with me to the conventicle. We must search it while we have the opportunity.
Sazed paused, then nodded.
Let me go explain to the villagers. We can leave tonight, I think.
Marsh nodded, but he didn't move as Sazed retreated to the village. He just remained, standing in the darkness, letting the mist gather around him.